You're seated tonight. We trust everyone's had a great week so far. Well, I'm excited to be able to share with you tonight. I'm going to kind of follow along with the series that Pastor Joel has been doing. He's been teaching on Wednesday nights on the subject of love and talking about a different characteristic of love kind of each week over the last several weeks. And, you know, he shared on how love is patient, shared several weeks on how love is kind, and last week he shared on how love does not envy. Wasn't that good last week to where how it can just kind of slip into our lives without us even thinking about it? And so he'd asked me to fill in for him tonight, and I said, well, what do you want me to share on? And he said two things. He said, whatever's on your heart. And he said, you may think about sharing on one of the characteristics of love. And so for me, it was a perfect match because exactly what I was on my heart was one of the characteristics of love. And so tonight we're going to talk about selfishness, which is everybody's favorite subject. So hope you got your boots on tonight and you're ready to go. But this has been a subject that the Lord's been dealing with me personally about really over the last year. And I'll get into that in just in a couple minutes. But if you've got your Bibles tonight, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is where we've been kind of starting with Pastor over the last several weeks. And we're going to start in verse 4 and kind of go through verse 8. It says, love suffers long. It's kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. And that's the part we're going to spend time on tonight. It's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And so this is so important for us, that every characteristic of love, that we take time and we make it a big deal in our lives, because it's by the love of God that we'll be known as Christ's disciples. That's the one thing that separates us from the world, is the love of God. Amen? And so that's something that we're going to share on tonight. And as I was studying for this message, I came across this pretty interesting article. Really is a short story in the USA Today. I think that you might get a kick out of it, just like I did. It says, Stephen Ritchie, who works for a research firm in Indianapolis, remembers a recent flight that was diverted because someone on board suffered a severe asthma attack. Now, I don't know about you. I've been on several flights, but I've never been on a flight where somebody had a medical emergency. I can imagine that by itself would be quite an interesting situation. It said, after making an unexpected landing, an irate passenger made a beeline toward the flight attendants, treating the sick passenger, and demanded that they take off immediately. It says, this was in quotations, it says, the lady said, this is ruining my vacation. She screamed. She refused to return to her seat, and she was expelled from the flight. You can imagine being on that plane. I know all of us are probably having the same thought right now, like, are you kidding me? Would somebody literally and actually be so selfish to do something like that, to where somebody is trying to stay alive and catch their breath, having an asthma attack, and this lady marches to the front of the plane, pushes everybody out of the way, gets right in the middle of the medical emergency, and starts screaming at them to cause the plane to go because she does not want to miss her vacation? It's a pretty fascinating thing to think about, that somebody would go to that level of selfishness, right? Well, the thing I began to think about was this, is that she was the only one that got vocal probably on that plane. But if we'll think about it, there was probably at least a handful of other people that were sitting on that flight. They were on their way to a vacation, or they had a quick connection that they needed to get on. And so maybe they didn't stand up and scream like this lady did. I don't know what she had for breakfast. Maybe she didn't have breakfast that morning to get so mad. Maybe she's on new medication or something. But anyway, she got irate, but I guarantee you there was at least a handful of other people that had the thought, man, this is really messing my plans up right now. And immediately they began to draw the attention on themselves in their thoughts and begin to have some selfish thoughts about, man, this is messing my plans up. I'm supposed to take my kids to Disney World, or I'm supposed to go to Paris on an anniversary trip, or I've got an important business meeting that I got to get to. And so selfish thoughts were probably taking place with other passengers. They just didn't take it that far. And you know, selfishness is something that can kind of get into our lives in any number of ways. In every area of our life, it can affect us. For one person, this lady, she got vocal about it. For some of those other people, they had some thoughts about it probably, about how that was messing their day up. You know, for some of us, selfishness can kind of creep in and our marriage relationship, to where it's very easily to get caught up and say, what are you doing for me? Or you're not doing enough for me, and it's all about me, 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 me. And we know that that can cause issues and problems in a marriage relationship when selfishness gets in. It can sneak in as a parent. You know, I've got a couple young boys and life gets busy and that type of thing. And there's some days where you're just like, I just want a little time for myself. I know my wife definitely feels that way. And so you just want to have a little time to yourself and you're just like, please, Lord, let me just have 5 minutes just to sit down and rest. And you just want to be so selfish in those moments when your kids want things and they've got busy schedules and they got to go here for practice and here for school and this and that. And so selfishness can kind of creep in that way too. You know, it can creep in financially to where everything that we have come in that we just want to keep it for ourselves and we spend all our money just on us and we don't ever do anything to be able to help other people or help family or help the kingdom of God do what God wants to do in the earth. You know, and another area can kind of creep into our lives can even be spiritually. And you may say, what do you mean selfishness can kind of creep in spiritually? Well, I said just a few minutes ago, for me, that was an area that the Lord had been dealing with me about was selfishness over the last year. And to kind of be transparent with you, me being up here right now is an act of unselfishness. And you may say, what on earth are you talking about? Well, the Lord's been dealing with me really over the last year about kind of getting into the next area of ministry that He's calling me to do and to teach more and to do some of these things. And for me, it's been something that I fought with the Lord about because I feel like my life is so busy right now that I've got 90% of it full and there's this 10% left. And I know that moving into the next thing that God's calling me to do is going to require more time and less sleep and more dedication. It's going to be a sacrificial thing that I've got to do. And so I've really just battled with the Lord and struggled with Him and, you know, had opportunities to try to do this over here. And I would just kind of shuck and jive to try to get out of it because I'm like, that's just going to take an investment of time. And I feel like I just want to hold on to that little last bit that I have and just chill out and relax or whatever it is because life can be so busy. But I realized for me that's something that I've got to do because I don't want to be selfish when it comes to what God's asking me to do, just like I know that you don't want to be either. And so selfishness can kind of creep into any number one of our, you know, any area of our lives. And so tonight what we're going to do, I'll kind of throw the game plan out at you. We're going to define what selfishness is. And I'm going to give you the basic Webster's definition. But after that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw at you several different things of what selfishness looks like. Because if I asked everybody in here, what is selfishness to you? Somebody's face might pop into your mind. And we don't want that to take place. Or you may have one particular word that comes to mind. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of throw a lot of different things out there. And the point is that one of these things may speak to your heart about, yeah, that's where selfishness has crept in my life. And so that's what my hope is that I don't believe we've got a room full of selfish people in here tonight, but I do know that the enemy works hard to try to get us focused just on us. And so when I'm going through this list, think about the one thing that maybe stands out to you that speaks to your heart. And then towards the back end of the message, I'm going to talk a little bit about some ways that we can remove selfishness from our lives because we don't want it in our lives, right? We know that love is patient, it's kind, it's not selfish. And so if we're going to walk in the love of God, we can't have selfishness in our lives because if we're all caught up about us, we're not caught up in God and we're not caught up in the people that He wants us to reach. Amen?
Amen.
And so selfishness defined as simply this, it's concerned exclusively with oneself. What does that mean? That means it's all about me. It's about what I want. It's about what I think. It's about what I need. It's about what I desire. What would please me? What you want, what you need, what you desire is of no interest to me. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. It has no interest to me. I'm exclusively interested just in one person in this room right now, that person being me. That is what selfishness is. It's being exclusively concerned with oneself. And on the flip side, it means you have a lack of concern for everybody else and everything that's going on, that the world revolves around one person. And that's you, what's going on in your life. And what everybody else has going on is really irrelevant to you because that's what selfishness wants to do, is get you focused completely on you. And so I believe that all of us can fall into a kind of one of three categories to try to identify in our lives whether or not selfishness is taking place. And so before we get into that, I want to share a scripture with you. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. And this is in the English Standard Version. I'm going to share multiple scriptures out of this version tonight. You can see it up here. It says, "For people will be lovers of self. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless." I don't know what the next word is. I'm going to call it unpleasable. "Slanderous, without self-control, brutal." This is the part we want to get at. "Not loving good, Some more things are listed there. And then here's the main part we want to look at in this verse. It says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but not denying its power. Avoid such people. You see, we stop loving God as soon as we start loving ourselves. You may say, it's wrong to love yourself. Everything in moderation, right, my friends? We must love God above everything else in our lives. And so I think that we can fall into one of three categories based on this scripture. And the first one is that we can be lovers of God. Now, what does that look like exactly? To me, that looks like this, that overall, in general, our lives are about pleasing God. We want to do His will. We want to follow His plan. And we try to spend our time and our activities, our thoughts, our words, generally in the direction of doing what God wants us to do to demonstrate our love to Him. Because we know love is something that we do and not just say. The second category, I think, is this, is that we can fall into, is that we're lovers of others, which is another good category. We want to stay in these top two. Because whenever we love others, we're not just loving God, but we're telling God, God, I love you so much, I want you to use me to love other people and to be your hands and to be your feet and to bless people and to do good on the earth, because it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Amen? And so we want to show God's goodness, and He relies on us to do that. And the third category is this that I think that we can fall into. I think we all fall into one and sometimes multiple of these. And that is we become lovers of ourselves and lovers of pleasure. Now, I think automatically we think whenever we hear lovers of pleasure, we start thinking sin automatically. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that. Whenever we're lovers of pleasure, it can simply mean that we're in love with pleasing ourselves, simply meaning we're interested in things just being pleasing to us. Whatever brings us pleasure, that's what we want to do. For some of us, maybe it's just we spend all our time on a hobby. For another one of us, it might be we spend all our time doing this over here or doing this over there. But the main thing is we neglect spending that time and investing that time into what God wants us to do. So those three categories, we're either lovers of God, secondly, lovers of others, and lastly, lovers of ourselves or lovers of pleasure. And so in order to love God and to love others, we have to stop loving ourselves and realize that life is not just about us, but God wants us to be focused on other things. So now we're going to dive into a little bit more about what does selfishness look like? Because we've all got some preconceived notions about, yeah, this would be selfish if I did this. That lady on that plane was definitely selfish. I know that's selfish. So we're going to throw some things out tonight, and I think maybe one of these things or a few of these things may speak to your heart. That's my hope tonight. The first thing is this, is selfishness says, my time is more important than your time. My time is more important than your time. Now, that can be simply meaning that you show up late to things all the time. If you showed up late to church tonight, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about anytime a preacher gets up and talks about time and showing up late, everybody in the church is like, oh, he saw me coming. No, I'm not talking about that tonight. What I'm talking about is this is just a habitual thing. We all know people that's like, you show up late to everything. And whenever those people do that, what are they saying? They're saying one thing, and that is, my time is more important than your time. You work around my schedule. That is something that selfishness looks like. And so for me, whenever I was thinking about this, that my time is more important than your time, this is something that I fell guilty to last year, last summer. I was about 4 weeks out from doing a fitness competition, and so during that time, I'll be completely honest, you can ask my wife, I got into a little bit of selfishness because it seemed like my whole world revolved around getting ready for this competition, especially in the last couple weeks. Well, during that time, I had to get my mom moved out of her house. She was moving out of the house that we grew up in, and she was needing to downsize, and so she was going to come stay with us for a month. And we had a couple windows of time that we could get her moved out and get her moved down here. And so I threw out a couple suggestions, and she said, hey, I'd like to do it a little bit later rather than sooner because it would just make it a little bit easier on me. And I was so caught up in myself at that moment, I just pressed and pressed and pressed and pushed. Let's do this sooner than later because I needed to get back and I needed to get focused back on me again because I had this competition coming up and I had to be really strict about what I was eating, what I was doing, and the exercise and all that kind of stuff. And all that stuff's real boring. But anyway, I had to be real strict about it. So anyway, I ended up talking her into letting us do it sooner than later. And it ended up being a mistake for me, to be completely honest, because I thought this is a good thing. I got her to do what I was wanting to do to work around my schedule because my time was more important than hers. That's how I was looking at it at that moment. And it was just a rough situation beginning to end because it was just too much change, too fast for her to digest just mentally and emotionally to move out of the house that we grew up in. And so it was just a really hard time for her the whole time that she was down here because she was still just trying to take it all in. And so during that time, I learned a really important lesson that it's not okay to put my time frame ahead of other people's time frame, because that's exactly what selfishness does. And so selfishness looks like that. It says my time is more important than yours. Selfishness also looks like this. It's interested only about itself. In Philippians 2:21, it says, "For they seek their own interests and not those of Jesus Christ." In this scripture, you see Paul talking about Timothy, and he's trying to send Timothy to the church of Philippi, and he's literally saying, I've got literally one guy that I know of that I can send down there that's not going to be selfish, that he's not going to be just about him, but he's going to be about Christ and about God's business. So even back then, we see that selfishness was a big issue, that there were so many people trying to promote themselves and were so interested in themselves that they couldn't get their eyes off of them and put them on the plan of God. And when I think about this, being interested only about yourself being an issue where selfishness comes in, there's a guy that does a complete opposite of that that goes to church here. His name's Dustin. And when you talk to Dustin, there's something amazing that he does. He has the ability to talk to a complete stranger. I've seen it firsthand. It happened when I talked to him for the very first time, and he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. He makes it seem like he's interested only in one thing, and that is you and what you're saying right now. The only thing he's more interested in what you're saying is the next word that you're about to say. He just has that ability to really just show care towards people and show a genuine interest in what's going on in their life. And it's an amazing thing to see. And he's a very blessed man as a result of that. And so selfishness looks like that. It's only interested in its own self. But on the flip side, we can keep selfishness out of our life by being genuinely interested in other people. Because the more I'm caught up in me, the less I'm caught up in you and the needs that you have and the desires that you have. And God is interested in us all. Amen?
Amen.
Selfishness also looks like this. It insists on its own way. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, it says that love does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. We've all met that person that it's my way or the highway. We're going to do things my way or we're not going to do them at all. You're going to come and you're going to do it like this or you're not going to do it at all. We've all met people like that, and we all have the same thought about those people, don't we? Like, I don't really like being around them. I don't really like that attitude. Why is that? Because that's a selfish attitude that we can sometimes have. Well, you may say, well, in general, I'm not like that. Well, there may be one particular relationship that we have that type of attitude. And really, there's no relationship that we have that we should have that type of attitude with somebody. Well, I'm over that person. Or, well, they're my kids. Or, well, it's this relationship over here. That's never okay to have that type of attitude where it's just, do what I say, do what I want. It's all about me. I'm not interested in you. That's not the love of God. The love of God is interested in other people, and it doesn't insist on its own way all the time. If you got to have it your way all the time, man, that's a tough life to live. Chances are the friendship list is probably a little short right now. So this message is going to be good. We're going to talk about how to remove selfishness out of your life. By the time this is over, man, you're going to have a lot of friends. At least I hope so. All right, selfishness looks like this. It loves themselves or itself more than it loves God. And we looked at that scripture just a minute ago. It loves itself more than it loves God. Well, what does that look like exactly? It looks a little bit like this. It's somebody that is always too busy for God, and they have an excuse about why they don't ever do any spiritual things. Well, man, you know, I just don't have time for church. I don't have time to read the Word anymore. I don't have time for prayer because, you know, I got a lot of irons in the fire. I got a lot of things going on these days, and we got this with the kids and this with that and this with that, and there's an excuse for every single thing to neglect their relationship with God. And we all have busy times. And so what I'm talking about is not the here and there and every once in a while, but when that becomes a habit in our lives, chances are selfishness has crept in and we have become more lovers of ourselves in that season of life than we become lovers of God. And that's a good indicator of it, is if we start making excuse after excuse after excuse for why we're not doing spiritual things and why we're putting God on the back burner, then selfishness has come in. The good news is this, is we can get it out of our lives and we can get God back as first place and priority. What else does selfishness look like? It loves themselves more than others. How we spend our time is a big indicator of this. It loves itself more than it loves others. If if we get to the place to where we have people asking, hey, can you help out with this? Or can you help me with this? Or can you be here for that? Or can you take a moment to listen to me? Or, hey, I'm dealing with this. And we have, once again, excuse after excuse to where I don't have time for you. I don't want to listen to you. I don't have time for that. Well, then at that place, we become more lovers of ourselves, once again, than even lovers of others. And you see, it's important that we be lovers of others because God wants to use us to be able to minister and to reach each other. We need each other. Amen. That's why things like life groups are so important. It's because we can take that time in our life and we can not just be lovers of God, but we can be lovers of others and be interested in other people's things that they've got going on. You want to remove selfishness from your life? This isn't on my list. Join a life group. Okay? There. All right, the next thing that selfishness looks like is this, is contention. Contention means simply to fight. If you've been around somebody that they just are arguing all the time, or they have just a fighting spirit about them, it's just everything's a fight. When you talk to them and they're just going through fight after fight, struggle after struggle, when you're talking to them, chances are selfishness has crept in their lives somehow. Because the reason they get so irritated and they get so wound up is because you want them to be focused on something else, and all they want to do is be focused on themselves. And so pride always comes before contention. You know, I've got two little boys. I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And right now we're trying to teach them not to be selfish. And if you've ever met a child, they're all selfish until they hit a certain age. They're interested in one thing. When are you feeding me? When are we playing? And are you going to buy me something at the store? You know, those are kind of the three things that life revolves around. And so my boys right now, from the time they wake up before school to the time they go to bed, when they get to playing, oh my gosh, they get to fighting. It's, I had this first, or I had this first, or I had this toy, or I had this toy. So we finally got to the place where we just started buying them the same exact toy. Like, I don't have twins. They're 3-year-old and 5-year-old. But I got to buy them the same thing while we're trying to teach them to learn to not be selfish during this time. And so selfishness will lead us to having a lot of fighting going on in our lives. If you feel like you're just constantly in a fight, I fight with this person, I fight with this person, man, it's all their problem, it's their fault and their fault. We may just have to take a step back and just say, man, am I making this all about me? And maybe that'll be a solution to some of those fights. The next thing that selfishness looks like this is pride. We mentioned this just a second ago. It's the cousin of selfishness. It's always trying to one-up and get the attention back on itself. Selfish people only want to talk about one thing, and that's them. So you have a conversation, and they're talking, and you're like, When you cut somebody off and you don't let them finish talking, that is something that is definitely selfish. And we've all been guilty of that. I know that I have been. But what we're saying to the other person when we're doing that is basically like, what you say is less important than what I have to say. You need to listen to me right now, because what I have to say is so much very more important than what you have to say. And so we don't want to have that type of attitude, or somebody that's always trying to one-up the other person to where, man, I had really something great happen to me today. And you're like, shh, 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 listen, I had something even better happen to me today. Or maybe they're trying to share a struggle with you about, I'm really going through this particular thing in my life right now. And you're like, let me tell you about my struggle. And pride will always try to get, and selfishness will always try to get that attention back on itself and off of you. And so if you're having a lot of those conversations, or maybe you know somebody that's having a lot of those conversations, selfishness may have crept in to your life. We've got a couple more things here before we move on to how to get it out of our lives. The next one is selfishness is rude and irritable. Now, we can all get irritable sometimes, right? Come to think of it, I was a little irritable this afternoon at one moment. And we've all had those moments where we can get irritable. But once again, I'm not talking about the occasional thing, but if you're just constantly irritated with people and constantly being rude to people, just snapping, you find yourself just snapping at people and just irritable all the time, chances is selfishness may have come in. Because the reason that we get irritable and the reason that we get rude is because I'm tired of listening to you talk. I'm tired of what's going on with you. Get the attention back on me. Get it back on me. You're bothering me right now talking about you. I want the attention back on me. That's what selfishness does. And whenever we get irritable and we get rude, somebody that says something rude to you says it for one reason, because they have reached the point where they can't stand listening to you anymore. They've got to have the conversation back on them. And so they're just like, be quiet. Listen to what I have to say. And so selfishness creeps in whenever we become rude and irritable on a regular basis. In 1 Corinthians 13:5, the God's Word translation says, love isn't rude. It doesn't think about itself. It's not irritable. It doesn't keep track of wrongs. So, love isn't irritable, right? So if you found yourself being really irritated lately, or maybe somebody's really irritating you lately, well, then that might be a great opportunity to step back and say, man, am I more concerned about how I'm being affected in this situation? And I know, God, that you want me to be a lover of you, and you want me to be a lover of others. How can I love this person in this situation? And I think that that will take care of a lot of that irritability. Next thing is this, is selfishness has wrong motives. In James 3:16, it says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice." Now, we know the story in Matthew 20 where James and John, they're fighting about who's going to be seated at the right hand and the left hand of Jesus in glory. And you know what the funny thing is? What it doesn't mention in that scripture is that they're not talking about, what about the rest of the team? What about the other 10 guys? Where are they going to be seated? They didn't care. They were not interested in that moment about what's going to happen to the rest of these guys that sold out and sold their whole entire life to follow Christ like we did. They were interested in one thing. What's going to happen with me? Where am I going to be placed? How am I going to be honored? And so they had the wrong motive in that. They had the selfish ambition in that moment. And so whenever we find ourselves that we begin to start having wrong motives in our lives, and that's something that can be very, very subtle. Maybe that's something that happens in the workplace. Maybe that's something that happens in family, in a relationship. And it's just like, I know this is not the right thing. I know this is not the right decision. But you just kind of let it go, keep going, keep going. Selfishness has probably crept in because you stop forgetting about serving others and about loving others. And it gets back to just, I'm loving me alone. That's what selfishness does. A couple more here. Selfishness has a life void of power. If you're in life right now and you just feel like powerless, like I can't make something happen to save my life, it seems like things just aren't working out. I can't get things going like I used to. It just seems like I'm hitting a brick wall everywhere I go. Stuff is just tough. It's tough sledding. Chances are that we've allowed selfishness to creep in. Why is that? Because selfish people are powerless because they rely on their own strength. The reason life feels powerless is because we've tried to do things on our own, and we eventually run out of strength, don't we? But that's the wonderful thing about God. He never runs out. And so that course correction is very simple. It's as simple as this. It's just retiring from our ways and trying to do everything ourselves and just simply inviting God back into the equation, back into that situation, saying, God, I need your help. Help me with this. I don't want to do things my own. I don't want to selfishly think that I have all the answers. I know that you are the one that has all the answers, and it brings God back into the equation. In 2 Timothy 3:2 through 5, at the end of the scripture there in the English Standard Version, it says, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. So many times we can get caught up in just doing the religious duties and the spiritual things and coming to church and just reading our Bibles and just que sera, sera, without making a true transaction with receiving from God on a daily basis. And what happens is we have appearance of godliness to where we feel like we're doing all the right spiritual things, but if we never make a withdrawal on the power of God, if we never make a withdrawal with a genuine relationship with God, then we'll be exactly what the scripture says. We'll have an appearance of godliness, but we'll be denying its power. Our life will be powerless. It'll be void of power. And so if you're in that moment, if you're in that season in life right now where you feel like, I'm just powerless, invite God back into the equation, and you'll see your life take on new power and new grace. Okay, here's the last thing for what, I know you're ready for this list, Ann. Here's the last thing for what selfishness looks like. It has a lack of generosity. A lack of generosity. Now, we know the story of Judas to where he was so selfish that he got caught up in the lust of money that he literally sold Jesus out for some silver because in that moment he was not concerned with the Messiah that was to save the world. He was concerned with only one thing, and that was profiting himself. So he literally selfishly sold out Jesus, literally. And so in our lives, we've got to look at it to see, how am I spending the gifts? How am I spending the increase that God gives me? Do I live a generous life to be able to help others and be lovers of others? Do I honor God by being generous towards Him and being generous towards His kingdom? Or do I keep everything for myself and have a stinginess about my life? In order for us to not be selfish, we've got to have a generosity about our lives that we keep others in mind, and we care about their interests, and we care most of all about the interest of Christ and what he wants to do in the earth. All right, so we've talked about what selfishness looks like. I hope that it's painted a little bit of a good picture for us all to see, and maybe a couple of those things stood out to you where you're like, when he said that, I've done a little bit of that this week. But the good news is I'm going to give you several just practical ways of how to get it, how to remove it from your lives, and I think that it'll be a help to you. The simple and the short answer is this: if we want to get selfishness out of our lives, it's as easy as just serving others. I'm going to talk to you about several different ways that you can do that, but it's as simple as just giving towards others. Give yourself to God, give yourself to others, give yourself away. And whenever we do that, we get our eyes off of ourselves and we look at how we can be a help to other people. That takes selfishness away faster than anything. But the first way that we can remove selfishness is exactly what I just said, by serving others. When we serve others, it stops selfishness. I was talking to one of our usher leaders a couple Saturday nights ago, and his name's Lewis, and he's just an amazing guy. He was telling me a little bit about his story. And I knew Lewis worked a lot, but he was telling me that his wife, after Christmas, was starting nursing school, that was her dream, and that's what she wanted to do. And so he was already working a couple of jobs as it was and had very little time, but he said, and this just blew me away, the guy is so unselfish, he said, my wife's dream is to become a nurse. And so he said, that's what matters most to me. So he was like, I've taken on some extra hours so we can make sure that we can get her through nursing school. And he was already working like around the clock from the way he was describing it to me. And he said, that's her dream, and so that's what's important to me. And I stopped and I said, selfishly, I guess, I said, what about you? I said, is there any time for you? Do you ever take in anything if you're giving out so much? And he just smiled and he said, yeah, Ryan. And this just got even better for me. I got convicted just talking to the guy. He said, yeah, on Sundays I have off. And he said, my wife usually likes to sleep in, wake up around 10 o'clock. And he said, so from 6 o'clock to 9 something, I go spend time with my mother every week to make sure I have time with her. And I was like, oh my gosh. You don't need to share this story with very many people because you're going to get us all in trouble. No, but when he said that, my jaws just dropped. I'm like, I don't have any words. I was just like, you're a great guy. You're a great guy. You're awesome. You're definitely not selfish. And I'm going to use this in the message. Is that okay? And so by serving others, he's just so unselfish. He's an usher leader too, just an incredible guy. But he's done that intentionally to where he's living his life, not about him, but about serving other people and family in particular. How do we remove selfishness from our lives? Stop thinking about ourselves and start thinking about others. That's exactly what Lewis was doing. He stopped thinking about himself and what he could get out of it. He was thinking about his wife and how he can help her fulfill her dream, what she feels like God's calling her to do. And we'll never begin to stop thinking about ourselves. We'll never begin starting to think about others until we stop thinking about ourselves. In 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 3 through 7, in the Message translation, it says, love cares more for others than for itself. And it's not always me first. That the love of God cares more for others than its own self. And if we're going to do that, we're going to have to stop thinking about ourselves so much and about our issues so much and start thinking about other people's. And whenever we do that, God's love will be abundant in our lives and our lives will be blessed for it. The next thing, how to get rid of selfishness, is this: prefer others ahead of yourself. Give other people the preference. That can be something as simple as, where are we going to eat after church? You're going to have a great opportunity tonight. Have you not eaten yet? But instead of saying, I want to go here, turn to the person that you're with. Where would you like to go? And it's something so basic and it's so simple. But if we practice these things on a regular basis about preferring others, then it'll keep selfishness out of our lives. You know, a funny story about this I'm telling on myself tonight. But whenever Luke Spencer, he's our youth pastor right now, before he started working for the church, him and his wife Kelly went out on like a double date with me and my wife Hope. And so we were in the car. We hadn't decided on where we're going to go eat yet. And so I was like, hey, what do you guys like? And he was like, we like this Ichiban place right up the street here. And I can't stand that place. If you love it, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my cup of tea. I'm a picky eater. And he was like, yeah, we really like that place. And I was like, oh, that's great. How about we go here? Because I was thinking, no way, no how, I'm going to that China buffet. So we got home that night. We ended up going where I picked selfishly. And my wife was like, you know, do you know what you did? They told you where they wanted to go eat, and you just like completely ignored them and went where you wanted to go. And I laughed, and I was like, yeah, that was pretty selfish of me, but you know I'm not going to go eat it. So prefer others. Don't do what I did. Go where they want to go eat. Prefer others ahead of yourself. That will get rid of selfishness. And since then, I've been to the Ichiman with Luke, and though I did not enjoy it thoroughly, I put selfishness aside. What else can we do to remove selfishness? Love in word and in deed. Not just tell people we love them, but show people that we love them. You know, it was about a month ago. I think it was a Friday. My wife was saying the kids got a birthday party tomorrow. And I was like, you know how I feel about kids' birthday parties. I don't like them. And I'll be honest, I don't even like my own kids' birthday parties. Because it's very stressful when you have 20-something little kids and you're trying to organize them and to get them to sit down long enough to eat pizza and a cake. It's like an impossible task. You need Jesus himself to be there to make that thing happen. And so we were both kind of in agreement. You know, I don't like these parties. I'm not going to be going tomorrow. She's like, I'm still going to take them. So, okay, great. So I hadn't really figured out what I was going to do that morning, but it got heated up pretty fast. The boys were in an ornery mood that morning, and so they were loaded up in the car, and I can just see it on my wife's face. Like, and I was like, I can't do this to her. I can't send her out into the trenches with these boys by herself. And so I went out there. I'm not even dressed for the day yet. And she's in the car. It's freezing out. You know, you open the door just wide enough because you don't want to get too cold. And so I was like, do you want me to go with you? And she was like, oh, no, I know you don't want to go. And I was like, but would it help you if I went with you? And she was like, yeah, it would. I said, well, just give me a couple minutes. So I ran in the house. I got dressed. And I got in the car, and she was crying. And I knew why she was crying, because I hit a home run. That wasn't a part of the script. That was for free. But anyway, she was crying because Ryan was not selfish in that moment, and I put myself aside to not just love her in word and in deed, because I could have very easily just been like, love you, have a good time. But I stepped up to the plate and hit a home run. So love, not just in word, but also in deed, will remove selfishness from your life. The next thing to remove selfishness is this, is to remind ourselves that faith works by love. There's going to be times every single day probably where we're tempted to be selfish, but we've got to remind ourselves in that moment that if I'm going to be walking in love, I can't be selfish. And so whenever you're faced with that situation to be selfish, ask yourself the question, is it worth me missing out on what I'm believing God for right now to be selfish in this moment? And that will check yourself pretty hard. If we can do that on a regular basis, that will keep selfishness out, because it's like, you're not worth it. You know, it's not worth me not receiving healing. It's not me worth not receiving increase. It's not worth me getting the miracle that I'm believing God for to be selfish in this moment. So I'm not going to be selfish, because I realize my faith's not going to work if I'm selfish. So remind ourselves that faith works by love. We've got a few more things here, and then we'll wrap it up. Being selfish, how to remove it from our lives. Approach relationships to give and not just to get. In all of our relationships, don't be all about what you can get out of it. Be about what you can put into it. I had a conversation with one of my closest friends about a month and a half ago, and we were having breakfast, and I told him, I said, we hadn't spent a lot of time in the last season, and so I said, hey, I wanted to get together with you and just tell you something, and that is this, is that God has called me to be a supply to your life, to be a help to you. I don't know what that is or how I can do that, but you need to know one thing, And that is, I'm here for you, whatever you need, if humanly possible, I'll be there. And I told him, I don't care if you ever call me or talk to me or spend time with me. That's irrelevant to me because God told me to do this. And that's what that friendship is about to me. And so it was a great conversation because I feel like that's what every friendship should be like in every relationship. And so in that moment, I had to make sure that the time that I was spending and investing into this friendship, that it wasn't about me and just what I could get out of it. I had to set the record straight and say, it's not about me. I'm here to be a blessing to you in any way that I possibly can. Now, have I held up to my end of the bargain? Time will tell. But that's my aim that I want to try to be able to do in all of my relationships. The next thing to remove selfishness from our life is this, is be generous with money. Uh-oh, he said money, right? Be generous with money. The Bible tells us it's better to give than to receive. That's one of the quickest ways we can get selfish is just to hoard up all of our money and just spend it on ourselves and get that new outfit, get that new car, get that new house, and just spend all that we have coming in just on us and mine and mine's. But be generous with money. You know, I was talking with a couple that goes to the church here probably a couple months ago now, and they were sharing a story with me about how the Lord had dealt with them to bless somebody and send them on a trip. And during that time, they were telling me, we didn't have the resources, we didn't have the finances to really do that, but we felt like God was telling us to do that, to be generous in this moment in our lives. And so they sat down, they looked at the numbers, it didn't really add up, but they talked and they said, we need to do this. If God's telling us to do this, we're going to do this. And so they made the decision to do it, and God ended up supplying that. And they were able to send those people on a trip and be a blessing to them. As a result of that, they own a business, and they've seen more increase take place in their business with that simple act of generosity and doing what God was telling them to do, because they wanted to be selfish in that moment and say, we have enough to take care of what we need to take care of. We don't have enough to be able to do this over here. But they made a decision not to be selfish, but to love others in that moment and love God and be obedient to Him. Not only that, now they're opening a brand new branch in what they're doing in their business, and God's hand has just come upon it in a strong way because they made a decision to be generous. Amen. Last thing to get selfishness out of our lives is this, is to be generous with your time. This is one of the simplest things that we can do, is to be generous with our time. You know, I've got a couple of friends that go to church here that they've helped me out with these fitness competitions that I got into last year. And they're just wonderful people. And over the last year and a half, they spent countless hours, literally countless hours, training me, just investing into me, doing it for free because it's something they enjoy doing. Sometimes getting off work at 8 something at night, coming in rather than going home and even training me and another group of people because it's something that they want to do to be generous with their time. And I look at them and I think, man, what generosity that they have. What an amazing thing. And so it's an inspiration to me to where if somebody's in need of something, to step out there and to serve them and to be a blessing to them is so much better, and it keeps selfishness out of our lives. One thing I skipped over and then we're going to get into lastly, the reward for being unselfish, and that's this, is to get selfishness out of our lives, use your gift that God has given you. Not just for yourself, but for God's kingdom and for others. You may say, I don't know what my gift is. Well, we have all got a gift that God's given us, and a lot of us are blessed to be at a place where we realize what some of those things are. Chances are you're probably making money at it right now, whatever your gift is, whether you're great with people, you're great with technology, whatever it is. But if we're going to be lovers of God and lovers of others, we've got to use our gift for God and use our gift to bless others. You may say, how can I do that? I'm so glad that you asked. We have a thing at the church here, if you hadn't heard about it yet. It's called Growth Track. We talk about it every single weekend on the screens. And we have a class the third week of each month called 301. It's a gifts assessment test. So you may say, I have no idea what my gifts are. It's all good. You can come to that class. Robert Berry, my man on the front row here, he will hook you up. He'll help you find your gift. And you can use that to show your love for God and show your love for others and use that gift to be able to be a blessing to other people. To be completely honest with you, my life was never in the least bit fulfilled until two things took place. One, I made a decision to live for God, and two, I made a decision to do something for God. Before then, I did a lot of stuff, tried a lot of things, and nothing put a smile on my face until I did those two things. If that helps anybody, I hope so. Anyway, all right, to wrap it up here, we're going to talk about for just a moment, what is the reward for living an unselfish life? We're going to share with you in Philippians chapter 2, 2 through 9, in the TLV version. I'm not exactly sure what that is. But anyway, I'm going to share this scripture with you. It says, "Then make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, united in spirit with one purpose. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but with humility consider others as important than yourselves, looking out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in the Messiah, who through existing in the form of God did not consider himself to be equal to God, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, becoming of the likeness of a man, and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name." Christ's purpose on the earth was not to come to be served, but to serve. For that reason, he made the ultimate sacrifice. He was not selfish in that moment. Even though he asked God the Father to take that cup from him before he went to the cross, he made a decision not to be selfish. And he went to the cross so that we could have a relationship with him and go to heaven. And so if we want to see a reward in our life for being unselfish, it's as simple as this. Do whatever we can to remove selfishness from our lives. And whenever we do that, we're going to be in the love of God. And when we're in the love of God, God is going to do for us exactly what he did for Jesus. He's going to cause us to be exalted in our life. He's going to cause our families to be exalted. He's going to cause our finances to be exalted. He's going to cause us to be blessed in our body and healthy. He's going to touch every single area of our lives and cause it to be exalted and come up higher and stronger and better whenever we make a decision not to live a selfish life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together tonight. Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word. Father, we thank you that as we prayed at the very beginning, that the words that were spoken tonight, Father, I thank you that they just go down in our hearts. Father, I thank you that they produce a harvest in our lives. And Father, we just thank you for your strength, for your grace, to walk in the love of God, to live an unselfish life, to live a life that's, we're not just lovers of ourselves and of pleasures, but we're lovers of you and lovers of others. That we get our eyes off of our own selves and we put our eyes onto you and reaching out to the people that you've called us to. Father, we thank you for that tonight. And Lord, we thank you that this week we'll live a life of unselfishness and we'll see you exalt us in everything that we do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, we thank you so much for coming tonight. If you're a first-time guest here,